I didn't look at all their papers in that bank thingy. So.
I think we need to have all the people with blue, white, and black flannel shirts stand up.
Okay.
One here, there. That one left. David left.
1, 2, 3. Joshua 8 and probably 9. How many of you are praying that Lindsay gives birth on Sunday for Super Bowl Sunday? So, yep. Joshua 8. Okay, let's go and pray. Lord, I do ask you to help us understand your words. Help us to possibly get some practical things out of here also. And I just pray you'd help us be faithful to your words. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, the storyline in chapter 7 is one fella took some things that God said he wasn't supposed to take. And it caused the death of 36 people in that battle. Okay, in chapter 8, they're going to try the battle again. Okay, but this is going to be done after justice has been served. And so then the Lord's going to be with them. David had a case like that. Remember when David brought the Ark of the Covenant back the first time, and that one fellow touched it, and he kicked over, and so then he did it a second time. The second time he did it according to the scriptures, and the same is true here. The second time they're doing it according to the scriptures, according to what God told them to do. Okay, we're not going to read the entire chapter because a lot of it is pretty self-explanatory. I always kind of get a chuckle out of people saying the King James is so hard to understand. But sometimes if you know somebody says that to me, let's give it a try, and I'll put my finger down and read it for them, and they'll say, did you understand it? Well, yeah, okay, let's try it again, you know, and then put your finger down. Did you understand that? Now, if it lands on Parbar westward by Parbar, that would be a different one. That's one in the Chronicles. So in chapter 8, after Achan has... Ben Achan, after he got judged. The Lord gives Joshua the next plan. Okay, and it says, and the Lord said unto Joshua, fear not, neither be thou dismayed. Take all the people of war with thee, and arise, go up to Ai. See, I have given into thine hand the king of Ai, and his people, and his city, and his land. And thou shalt do to Ai and her king as thou didst unto Jericho and her king. Okay, here's the difference. Only the spoil thereof and the cattle thereof shall ye take for a prey unto yourselves, so they get to keep everything, and lay thee in ambush for the city behind it. Okay, lay thee in ambush. Many military leaders will read Sun Tzu's book about the art of war. And the art of war is the art, war is the art of deception. And so Sun Tzu, a famous Chinese general, explained a lot of these things. But the same holds true in spiritual war. Okay, the art of deception. Okay, the trick in the science world is to intermingle pseudoscience with science and don't tell the student which is which. Okay, that's the trick, how to deceive them. In the Bible world, in the church world, it's to intermingle truth with traditions. And then don't tell them the difference. Now, the traditions vary from place to place. Okay, and then they don't tell them the difference. So what they say, well, I'm quoting Bible. Yeah, you might be quoting Bible, but you might be misapplying it. You might be misquoting it. You might be doing this. Just because you read from the Bible doesn't mean... it's true what you said about it. You see, the Mormon church on their website, they hold to the King James Bible. If you talk to the Mormon missionaries, that's what they'll have. But then if you ask them if that book's perfect, they will say, as it's correctly translated. Who determines that? Well, they do. Okay, they determine that. So war is the art of deception. For us in the New Testament, if you would try 2 Corinthians 10. This is the rule for the New Testament. This is a change from the Old Testament. Remember that the Apostle Paul, before he was saved, as named Saul, he was well educated, well versed in Judaism. And he was, at the time of his conversion, he was traveling around obeying what he believed to be right in Deuteronomy 13, where under the Jewish culture, under the Jewish faith, you could kill people over religion. And I do believe he was stretching the passage a little bit, but still, that would have been his go-to passage. Okay, after he got saved and after he was tutored by the Lord Jesus, here's what he says in the New Testament. 2 Corinthians 10, 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. You see, that's Old Testament doctrine. That was allowed under the Old Testament. Then he said, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Unquote. That's about ourselves. So that's the rule for the New Testament. If you would try another one, 2 Timothy. This is what Paul told Timothy. So he likens the ministry to the military, but he doesn't expect it to run it like the military. Okay, there are portions of it you'll see where they'll say salute them that are, you know, and that's there's a hierarchy. But he says to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2, 3, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a Christian. The choosing is a service, and that's how it's used. Chosen him to be a soldier. He chose to be a son up there in verse 1. The sinner chose to be a son by believing in Jesus. And then Jesus chooses a soldier of a son. And then he says, and if a man also strive for the masteries, yet he is not crowned except he strive lawfully. And of course, you've got several examples of that. You know, if somebody took steroids or something like that, okay, they take their gold medal away from them and all that stuff. If a guy is a failure in men's sports, then he identifies as a female, then he becomes, you know, gold medal champion, but they don't take that stuff away. It's just insane. So then he has, of course, the great Ephesians 6 passage, you know, 11 verses in there, about being strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And he's portraying that as a Roman foot soldier. Okay, and so in war, it is the art of deception. Okay, and so this is what God is having Israel to do, lay an ambush. Okay, and then as we read a little bit further, 3, so Joshua rose and all the people of war to go up against Ai, and Joshua chose out 30,000 mighty men of valor and sent them away by night. And he commanded them, saying, behold, ye shall lie in wait against the city, okay, deception, even behind the city, go not very far from the city, but be ye ready. Deception. Okay, so they're deceiving these people in order to conquer them. Now, does God give us techniques like this? A little bit. If you would try 2 Corinthians 12, Now, the Lord wants us to be honest, sincere, handle the Word of God sincerely. But here's one case where you're not purposely deceiving or being deceiving somebody, but you're being crafty. Okay? And so 2 Corinthians 12:16. Now, here's what he said. But be it so, I did not burden you, nevertheless, being crafty, see, not deceptive, crafty, I caught you with guile. Okay, that's where Jesus said, be wise as serpent, harmless as a dove. Okay, so that's like if you're discussing something with somebody and they're not laying their hand out. Okay, do you believe you got to be baptized in water to be saved? And they keep, you know, and you can see that they're not going to answer the question. Then just keep going in the conversation. And then eventually say, now we know, of course, the Bible teaches you got to be baptized in water to be saved. Oh, I didn't know you believed that. Well, you just caught them with guile. Okay, because some people, older generation, they know the right answers to your questions. Just because somebody knows the right answers doesn't mean they're saved. But if you want to know some with crafty, and this is one way that I often do, like with the new Bibles, I don't tell them what's wrong with the new Bibles. I just ask them, read a passage for me that I know is missing. Being crafty, okay, and trying to get them to understand, okay, what happened here. And so that's the approach where Jesus said, be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. And that's another approach. The way things are coming, especially if you get out into the street, you got to learn to ask questions, the right question to the right party, instead of making statements. Okay, making a statement, or you preface your belief to be, I believe. That's a key idea. I believe. Now, yeah, we do know about things, but depending on a person who you're talking about, you know, in this environment of the transgender movement, there's been street preachers in England already being arrested just because of maybe they said something about homosexuality, and some pervert in the area got offended, and here come the police. Okay, and this is where we got to be wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. Okay. You can't say, well, you could say it. You could say to a judge in court, I think you're a low-down scoundrel. And he will probably hold you in contempt of court. But if you say, I believe you're a low-down scoundrel, he can't change it. He can't, you know, do anything about your personal belief. And they understand these words. Words mean things. So asking questions are very, you can't be sued for asking a question. And it's a great blessing to see, like was it a Sandman, where the media just, that young kid that stood in front of an Indian, a fellow where the Indian was beating on a drum, and the media said this young kid was, I don't know what they said, is defamation of his character. And he sued and won big money. And you're seeing more of this happening. One of Trump's guys in the past, I forget his name, he's very articulate, very outspoken. He's now starting lawsuits about racial discrimination if you're not hired because you're white. Because the blacks are doing it. Minorities are doing it. All this, you know, diversity stuff is nothing but anti-whiteness is what it is. And so this guy is starting lawsuits, and these big corporations who are woke are getting scared now. Which they need to be getting scared. Okay, and so I forget the guy's name, but you can find him online. And if you've been ever discriminated against because you're white or Christian, okay, he'll take your lawsuit free of charge, and then they get the money from the winnings. So this is what we need to be doing in our country. These people are a small minority is taking over things, and so we need to be speaking up. We need to. Now the liberals are starting to really panic because there's so many coming across the border where the blacks are now panicking because they're losing their subsidies and stuff in New York, and New York looks like it might be switching to Trump. because they're seeing how raunchy Biden is and what's going on in our country. Okay, so in verse 4, he's using the art of deception. Okay, verse 5, and I, all the people that are with me, will approach unto the city, and it shall come to pass when they come out against us as at the first, that we will flee before them. Okay, so they're pretending weakness. They're pretending fear, the art of deception. And when they get far enough away where the people of Ai come out of the city far enough away, then Joshua's going to turn around, hold his sword up, and then here comes the ambush. Okay, and that's exactly what happened. Okay, so the Lord laid out this plan for him. Exactly. And when you read down through there, you'll see that that is exactly what happened. So it's pretty easy narrative to come down and read through there. If you would drop down around verse 26, he says, "For Joshua drew not his hand back, wherewith he stretched out the spear until he had utterly destroyed all the inhabitants of Ai." Now, obviously, not he personally, but he's responsible. Okay, and so this is very similar where Moses held his hands up. Remember in the Old Testament, he held his hands up. And then the Lord, it says, only the cattle and the spoil of the city Israel took for a prey upon themselves. Okay, P-R-E-Y, prey, unto themselves, according to the word of the Lord, which he had commanded Joshua. And Joshua burnt Ai, so there's a common saying, they got burnt, okay, and made it a heap. And heap forever, even a desolation unto this day. And the king of Ai, he hanged on a tree until eventide. Okay, that's a rule under Deuteronomy, where at 6 o'clock, take the body down. Okay, and as soon as the sun was down, Joshua commanded that they should take his carcass down from the tree. I wonder how big that was. Giant? Most likely a giant, big dude. Okay, a lot of these guys were giants. They were fighting. Okay, and so took the carcass down from the tree and cast it at the entering of the gate of the city. Okay, cast it at the entering of the gate of the city. One of the last judgments of God, I guess you could say, or the last smack in somebody is not to give them a good burial. Okay, let the birds eat their body. Okay, that's what he did with Jezebel. That's what he did with Ahab. Okay, now a lot of times people today choose cremation because of financial reasons. Okay, there's other ways around this. Okay, and I recognize that our soul, when we're absent from the body, we're present with the Lord. Okay, and if somebody dies at sea, they're probably fish food anyway. And the Lord miraculously going to take all those elements and give us a new body. And so, but yet, in the Bible, this is the last, really, judgment of God, okay, as far as that goes. And so, he says, raised thereupon a great heap of stones. Okay, then Joshua expresses gratitude for the victory. And that's what we ought to. We pray and ask God for things. How about saying thank you? The Lord was appalled that 10 lepers were healed and only one came back and said thank you. Where are the 9, he said. And sadly, that's a lot with human nature. So he built an altar unto the Lord, God of Israel, in Mount Ebal. As Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded the children of Israel, as is written in the book of the law of Moses, an altar of whole stones, okay, whole stones, not brick or mortar. That's what the Tower of Babel is made out of, over which no man hath lifted up any iron. There's something about iron that's significant with the Lord. Okay, and then he said, and they offered thereunto burnt offerings unto the Lord. The policy for that is Leviticus 1. And sacrifice peace offerings, that's Leviticus 3. And he wrote thereupon the stones, a copy of the law of Moses, which he wrote in the presence of the children of Israel. Man, what is that all about? Big stone. I told Moses a week ago or something, I should get a common man's reference Bible and put it in two stone tablets so he can carry it to church. He said he wouldn't break it, though. Okay, and so we got, this is probably the Deuteronomy. But still, can you imagine how to do something like that? And then he gathered all Israel, their elders, officers, judges, stood on the side of the ark, on the side before the priests and Levites, which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, as well as a stranger. Strangers are foreigners, non-Jews. They would have probably been Egyptians that came along the way. Would have been Rahab. Okay, so any country that they came through, maybe some of the people said, we can't beat them, I'm joining them. So they would become religious Jews. So that's what the stranger is. As he that was born among them, half of them over against Mount Gerizim, half of them over against Mount Ebal, as Moses, servant of the Lord, had commanded them, that they should bless the people of Israel. And afterward, he read all the words of the law, in particular, the blessing and cursings. So that'd be 27, 28 of Deuteronomy. According to all that is written in the book of the law. There was not a word of all that Moses commanded. So that statement would take it to the entire book of Deuteronomy, 34 chapters. So after this great victory, these people are gathered together. Joshua is probably on a side of a mountain where the rocks can reverberate his voice, put it out there. And he's reading, 34 chapters. And no doubt people were daydreaming, looking around, heads nodding. They weren't paying attention because in the next chapter, they violate something exactly in what they read. Okay, in the next chapter. There was not a word of all that Moses commanded, which Joshua read not before all the congregation of Israel with the women and the little ones and the strangers that were conversant among them. Strangers, again, foreigners. Okay, chapter 9. Now, in chapter 9, there's something very practical that we can get in life about people not answering questions. Okay, and this is going to be, Joshua 9 is going to be a violation of Deuteronomy 7. Okay, so Moses told them, Deuteronomy 7, do not make any agreement with anybody in the land of Canaan. You're coming in, you're going to destroy everyone and everything. And the only reason I've kept these people alive is so they take care of your vineyards and your buildings. And so when they came in, the only buildings that were actually destroyed totally was Jericho and Ai. And so they came in and got all these vineyards and took all this wealth. So in chapter 9, he says, and it came to pass when all the kings that were on this side Jordan, in the hills, in the valleys, and in the coast of the sea, over against Lebanon, so that's north, the Hittite, the Amorite, the Canaanite, Perizzite, Hivite, and the Jebusite heard thereof. So you got a bunch of kings together, small areas. What I when I went to Germany years ago, there's the castle in southern Germany that Disney World is patterned after. And when you look at that thing, and then you see 666 etched in the bricks, and then you go to the cafeteria, and there's the anointed cherub that covereth the cherub that fell. And then you listen to the history when they're giving you the tour. Boy, you can real subtle things being told in there. But that's just a small little area where some German people had this guy for a king. Then you go to another, there's another castle. There's another castle. So these kings were kind of here and there. And the same happened in Israel. Sometimes these kings were giants. Okay? And so now they're all getting together against Israel. And they're thinking they're going to beat them. So in verse 2, they gathered themselves together to fight with Joshua and with Israel with one accord. And when the inhabitants of Gibeon, okay, so here's this group, Gibeon. Gibeon is where Solomon had the sacrifices, and then God heard his prayer and gave him great wisdom. So Gibeon turned out to be a pretty good place for the Israelites. But these Gibeonites, it says, heard what Joshua had done unto Jericho and to Ai. And they did work wily, okay, so we can see it deceptively, and went and made as if they had been ambassadors, and took gold sacks upon their asses and wine bottles, old and rent and bound up, and old shoes and clouded upon their feet, and old garments upon them, and all the bread of their provision was dry and moldy. And they went to Joshua unto the camp at Gilgal and said unto him and to the men of Israel, we be come from a far country. Now therefore make ye a league with us. Now nobody uses that word anymore, league. You know, that's a rare word. That's an archaic word. You know, little league. You know, American League. You know, see, they're talking about how the King James is so out of date. The King James Bible is far advanced. They just don't want to admit it. So he says, make ye a league with us. And the men of Israel said unto the Hivites, peradventure ye dwell among us, and how shall we make a league with you? So they remembered what the Lord said. And then they said unto Joshua, we are thy servants. So they ignored the question. We are thy servants. And Joshua said unto them, who are ye, and from whence come ye? And they said unto him, from a very far country thy servants are come because of the name of the Lord thy God. You see what they're doing? If somebody doesn't answer a question, I would get very suspicious. Okay, now that doesn't mean that I expect everybody to answer my questions when I'm asking a question. If they don't want to answer it, they don't have to answer it. But it sure does make me suspicious. And what they're doing is they didn't answer the question, and then they rambled on. You ever be around people like that where they don't answer the question, and then they just started, you know, taking, you know, the whole scenic route about something. And you're like, okay. You know, and so this is something you kind of beware of when people don't answer a question. Okay, when I, you know, quiz people about Bible or something like that, you know, I have yet, and I've asked this question dozens of times, what do you mean by the words the Bible? They don't answer that question. And then I say, what do you mean by the word Scripture? What does that mean? And one guy, the latest guy, asked that, well, that's an ambiguous question. I'm going to ignore that question. Oh, yeah, I'm sure you're going to ignore that question. Because the word the or the is the only definitive article in English, and it's referring to one unique, particular item or person. So when they say the Bible, what do they mean? And when they don't answer the question, I don't demand them to answer the question. I just now am very suspicious. Okay, and so the two questions, Joshua, who are ye? Didn't answer it. And whence come ye? Didn't answer that either. So they said, we are thy servants. Okay, 9, they said, from a very far country. At that time, he could have stopped and said, where? Name it. From a very far country, thy servants are come because of the name of the Lord thy God. For we have heard the fame of him and all that he did in Egypt. Okay, good. I'm happy for you. And all that he did to the two kings of the Amorites, that were beyond Jordan, to Sihon, king of Heshbon, to Og, king of Bashan, which was at Ashtoreth. Ashtoreth, you can see that's akin to Ashtarte or Easter. Okay, so you got that there. So Og is a giant. Okay, and so they heard about this. What could have they done? Okay, what could have they done instead of lying about this? They could have said, we are rejecting our God. We're going to accept your God. We would like to be a part of your people. Okay, but this sneaky idea, and this entrapped Israel is what it did. Okay, so then it keeps reading, wherefore our elders and all the inhabitants of our country spake to us, saying, take victuals with you for the journey. Go to meet them and say unto them, we are your servants. Therefore, now make ye a league with us. This our bread. They're just going on and on and on and never answer the questions. And so this is something a person can be aware of. It's a very practical thing. It's a discernment. It's recognized discernment in this matter. So then they said, this our bread we took hot for our provision out of our houses on the day we came forth to go unto you. But now, behold, it is dry and it is moldy. And these bottles of wine which we filled were new. Okay, and behold, they be rent. And these are garments, and our shoes are become old by reason of the very long journey. And the men took of their victuals and asked not, here's the problem, ask not the counsel at the mouth of the Lord. How many things we get ourselves in trouble because we don't consider the Bible, we don't consider spiritual things, we don't ask God. Proverbs 3, 5, 6, very well-known passages, okay? And so the idea is that we're supposed to seek the Lord in everything. Ask Him, pray about it, okay? Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. So he says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. So pray about everything. So there's verse 14. There's where they dropped the ball. Okay, they didn't ask the Lord about this. They weren't paying very close to attention to the words, okay, that's spoken. Okay, if you've ever watched a little bit of Jordan Peterson's interviews, especially that one with that Kathy Newman, take note that he listens to those words very closely. As a clinical psychologist, I guess he had a lot of practice. And so listen to words very closely and make sure that you're precise. And sometimes if you don't think that they have the same definition of that you do of a certain word, you ask them what that word means. Define it. Okay, like science. If you can talk to somebody, oh, we believe in science, we believe in science. What do you mean by that? Science. What do you mean by science? Define the term science. And you can find it online. It's pretty easy. And then when you get the definitions agreed upon, that now you could just stay on the path, okay? Science is gaining knowledge about the natural world by demonstration, observation, and experimentation. That's what true science is. So what is that? It's gaining knowledge through your five senses. That's what science is. You're observing. You feel it, you see it, you taste it, you hear it, you smell it. That's science. Okay? If you see somebody, if you read a science textbook and somebody gives an experiment, their experiment
might be science, but it's not science until you or I do the experiment. Until then, it's secondhand knowledge. And so a lot of these people, when they say science, just like the Bible tells us, beware of science falsely, so-called. And so that's the trick. That they intermingle those, and they say, well, didn't you see that? Well, no, I didn't see that. Okay, and so therefore it's not science until it's something personal of mine. Okay, so in verse 14, it's a very good principle of life. Talking to people, listen to their words, listen very closely to their words. When you ask a question, if they don't answer the question, or if they're vague on the answer, okay, just make sure we get the answer to the questions we have. If they don't want to answer it, that's fine, that's their choice. But that will not relieve my suspicions. So verse 15, and Joshua made peace with them and made a league with them to let them live, and the princes of the congregation swear unto them. Now this agreement technically was based in fraud. In our culture, that would vitiate the agreement. It would nullify the entire agreement. With God, they had to keep their agreement. So I don't know where we go on that, on some of those things, but they had to comply with this agreement. So in 16, it came to pass at the end of 3 days after they had made a league with them that they heard that they were their neighbors and that they dwell among them. And the children of Israel journeyed and came unto their cities on the third day. Okay, and now their cities were Gibeon. And look at all those. Okay, and so verse 19, they said, but all the princes said unto all the congregation, we have sworn unto them by the Lord God of Israel. Now therefore we may not touch them. So this oath is a very important oath with the Lord. So in verse 20, this we will do to them. We will even let them live, lest wrath be upon us because of the oath which we swear unto them. And the princes said unto them, let them live, but let them be hewers of wood and drawers of water unto all the congregation as the princes had promised them. So they became their servants is what they did. Drawers of water. How would you like to have to do that every single day? Man, isn't it a blessing to have water in your house? I mean, it's so easy, just turn on a spigot and there it is. But to have to go there, I mean, on occasion, when we go to Australia, you know, Heidi has there's a natural spring 20 minutes from Heidi's house. And for fun and pleasure, we go over to it, you know, and collect the water out, come right out of this rock. That's fun. But to have to do that every single day, whew, that's something. There was a great one up in Hillsdale. Did you check that one? Is it alkaline even? Yeah. 5 minutes from where they lived up in Hillsdale. Now 3 hours, but yeah, that was amazing. Findaspring.com, as you can find one. The closest I know of here is Delphi. It's the closest one I know of. So then verse 22, Joshua called for them, and he spake unto them, saying, wherefore have you beguiled us? Okay, that's what the serpent did to Eve, saying, we are very far from you when you dwell among us. Now therefore ye are cursed, and there shall none of you be freed from being bondmen and hewers of wood and drawers of water for the house of my God. And then they answered Joshua and said, because you're a racist bigot and believe in slavery. So they looked at the bright side, because it was certainly told thy servants how that the Lord God commanded his servant Moses to give you all the land and to destroy all the inhabitants of the land from before you. Therefore, we were sore afraid of our lives because of you. and have done this thing. And now, behold, we are in thine hand, as it seemeth good and right unto thee to do unto us, do. Hey, it beats death. And so did he unto them, and delivered them out of the hand of the children of Israel, that they slew them not. And then Joshua made them that day hewers of wood. Boy, it'd be nice to have somebody like that, wouldn't it, Hank? And drawers of water for the congregation and for the altar of the Lord. Congregation, 2 million people. Man, those guys had to be busy. Even unto this day in a place which he shall choose. Okay, so we'll stop there. Chapter 10. Hey, we'll get into the sun standing still. Did it or didn't it? So we'll give both sides of that issue and see if we come up with an answer. And if we can't, who cares? That's right. It is a major doctrine. So, yeah, it's going to be fun. Brother Paul?
If there were giants, that would give something to do.
Oh. Yeah. Less trips, just a bigger barrel. Okay, so I pray for Brother Jim Martin. Pray